And so I would love to welcome Victoria, who's come to share her experience, strength, and hope with us today. For however long you'd like to talk, Victoria, the floor is yours.
Thank you so much, Jan, and everybody that's here for allowing me to come up and talk. I'm still pretty new in recovery, so I know that it's a great honor to be able to come and speak with you folks. It's helped me get some things straight in my head, just making myself put stuff down and think about it, and it's been very helpful for myself. So thank you for that, just to start with. I've been trying to figure out what to talk about, like everybody else. And last week, during one of the meetings, someone—I live, just so everybody understands—I live on an island on the Texas Gulf Coast, and so for 5 months out of every year, we have the threat of hurricanes. And when you're on a sandbar and the storms are getting stronger, it occupies a lot of my time throughout the year, just getting ready to deal with it and get through them. And someone last week gave a quote, and it was, "Who do I want to be in the storm?" And I just loved that because, unfortunately, right when I heard that term, I started thinking, "Well, heck!" I just realized I know exactly who I was in the storm of my life. The storm of my life, I was actually the storm, which was a lot of self-reflection. And I started thinking about how I got to this place, that place today, even. And really, my storm started brewing about September of 2023. And I'm not sure how much people know about hurricanes, but our hurricanes in Texas start off the west coast of Africa. It's basically a breeze that comes off of the desert that comes into the water and eventually builds up to what can be, monstrous storms. And so my breeze was in September of 2023. And at that time, if you could have asked me to pick one of the happiest times in my life where things were just going right and you felt like all of the work and being a good person, everything was in line. And my husband and I were really happy. I was healthy. My family was healthy. If you had told me that that was the entering scene on a movie that was going to be, dun dun da, this is the beginning of the disaster movie. I mean, that's literally how my disaster began, at one of the happiest times in my life. And at that time, my career was going well, like I mentioned, and my husband, who's an attorney, got offered the top position at a really amazing firm. That position was a game changer in our lives. It wasn't something we were anticipating. And so, again, you couldn't have gotten like better news, better timing. It was something he was rewarding, and everything just felt like the stars were just perfect. We got to celebrate that for about a week and had a friend come into town, and we always take people out to the beach. We have a Jeep, and you can drive on the beach. Go out, drive on the beach, have a great time. Get back to our garage, and in 5 seconds, my husband getting out of our Jeep fell. And when he fell, he hit a concrete floor and shattered everything from his neck to his arm. And I mean, when shattered, broken, when we got to the emergency, I didn't even realize, I was just so happy he hadn't hit his head. But this is definitely when that foreshadowing music should have started playing about how different our lives were going to be. And we got to the ER, realized just how bad it was going to be. At that time, I never thought about me. I guess I had always been warned about alcoholism because alcoholism runs in my family, as far as like my parents weren't alcoholics, but the people around in our family were. So I'd always been very aware that that was a possibility. And I had gone through many times in my life where I had never actually admitted I was an alcoholic, but knew that I needed to stop drinking, or gone long periods of time both with help and without help. Nothing in my head was, there was no red, they talk about the red zone, things going off. I didn't get any of that when that first started. But condensing down, that accident turned into a 4-month trial of everything I was made out of. And that was because they had to get the swelling down before they could do any of the surgeries. They missed that there were more places broken when we first got our x-rays. And so this ordeal turned into 4 months of somebody who couldn't get surgeries, no relief. And anybody that's ever gone through a shoulder injury, arms, I know that that's got to be one of the most painful. You can't sit, stand, or whatever. It was not easy for my husband to be going through it. It was not easy for me to be beside him and watching him go through it. We were very active politically. We were involved in a lot of things. A lot of people come to us that depend on our help. And I tend to over volunteer. We both work too much. We try and do good things. We play. We have a good time. But you know, we're active, decent people. And everything just started falling apart. I started drinking. At first, it was drinking just to wind down at the end of the day, or you know, you felt like you were going through so much, and you're like, it's okay to have a couple of glasses of wine. And I live on a resort island. Drinking is not necessarily shamed or anything. And plus, so much was going on that there weren't people around me going, oh, you horrible person, you're drinking. It was kind of more excuses of, well, my gosh, you're going through everything. People weren't trying to be mean or supportive one way or the other. People didn't realize what was going on. I was a binge drinker, and I drank at my house. You know, you weren't going to see me out anywhere. So this was a very solitude. There weren't a whole lot of people knowing what's going on. But we started moving forward, finally got through the surgeries, sat down with a general practitioner for a regular appointment in February. This is now we're going on 5 months. And I'm sitting there and the tears just start coming down my eyes. And he says, you know, what's going on? You know, and in my background, I also have depression. I have people-pleasing tendencies, like everything that you could say. If you want to throw these things into the blender to make sure you get an alcoholic, I had them going on. Doctor said, I'm just going to put you on some Wellbutrin for a while. And, you know, that's going to make you feel better. And unfortunately, that was just a general practitioner that didn't have a whole lot of experience with it. And like I said, nobody outside of my husband and my close family and friends would have known that I was even drinking a lot. And so it wasn't fair for him either. But Wellbutrin. And then at the same time, about a month past that, I went in for a regular exam and they found a mass in one of my breasts. Well, I'm a 57-year-old woman, and 57-year-old women are tend to be on hormones. Well, the very first thing they did is yank off the hormones as well. And so all of those tendencies that I had, all of these things going on in my life, and just the Wellbutrin for me just took down any warnings of anything that it didn't let me worry about drinking too much because it was calming me down. And then the glasses of wine turned into bottles of wine. And just, I'm sure men can't understand, but when women with just getting yanked off the hormones like that, my everything was just going everywhere. So, and that's not an excuse for it. It's just these things were going on, and I didn't handle them well. I just drank more. And, you know, I started thinking about, you know, alcohol was to reduce the pressure in my life. You know, it was a temporary ease. And anybody that knows anything about hurricanes know that the stronger the storm, the lower the pressure. And so that alcohol was just feeding my storm and making me go from a tropical storm to a named category storm. And I was just kind of floating around and it was just building. Like I said, it was by myself and all of this stuff is going on under the water, basically, is how I think about it, because nobody really knew what was going on underneath the water. And build and build and build. And finally, I had one, I started really realizing that I needed to go in for treatment. I had gone for treatment quite a while back, and it was a really negative experience. It was going into a facility where basically I felt like I needed to punish myself. That was the whole goal. If I punished myself enough, I would never get, you know, pick up another drink or get to that point. Well, that wasn't the way to go, and it didn't serve its purpose, not long term. So I realized I needed to go back and get some more help. And I started looking for a place, and I started reaching out online. And fortunately, I can tell you the day that I first got introduced to Tusnua, because I was on July 4th, which is a very social weekend. and I'd had a really bad binge drinking episode about 3 days before July 4th. And I realized I had to stop drinking. At that point, it was life and death, and it was impacting my relationships, my life around me. Things had gotten out enough that it wasn't just a closed personal family thing. It was impacting other people, even people I didn't really know, because I was a storm. Everything was going everywhere. And so I found online meetings, and I basically just sat down in front of a computer and watched meetings and watched meetings and watched meetings. And I happened to stumble upon a meeting, and it had Laura in it. And I don't think she was talking in Tuscanoosa. I think she was talking in another group. And I listened to her talk, and it just hit. I don't even know how to explain it, with all the conversations you hear and all the things that should, but for some reason I was in the right place in my life and my mind. And that hit, and she mentioned Tuscanoosa, and so I started looking for it, and I finally found the groups, because for me these meetings are either at 7 in the morning or 6 in the morning, so it's early, but that's fine. I get up early anyway. But I found these meetings, and in those morning meetings, people like Jan, I want to say thank you, and Allie and other people, they just said good morning to me. Like Bruce, so fabulous. When I came in, they were, little things. They didn't have to step up a whole lot. I mean, even though they did down the road. Little text from Jan in the chat. Hey, Vic, so nice to see you. And I realized at that moment that I had found a place, and I could start working, getting to a place to get more recovery. So I reached out to some folks in the Tuscanoosa group and privately, and said, hey, I'm thinking that I want to go to a treatment facility. I think I need to do this. And luckily, Allie, who is just an angel, we all know that, had several conversations with me. Bruce reached out to me, and I got a game plan down, and I found a place to go. I got it cleared through my insurance and felt pretty good. I was having a few relapses. I kept track of my stuff, and before I got to my treatment, I was doing about 85% days sober, which we all know I have to be all or nothing, but at least I was trying to make some progress. It was better than what was going on before. And I just told myself, I just have to wait till the election. I knew things were wrong, and I thought I could just keep going, and keep doing everything. Over here in the United States, the election was November, and this was, July, August, September months. I thought, okay, I can hold out for a couple more months. I can hold out for a couple more months. That was the dumbest decision I ever made. As soon as I knew and admitted that I had problems, I should have gotten to help. And I had, we had that horrible debate for our running president. Last year, that was a complete fiasco. And at that point, I completely fell apart, fell down. And the binge drinking was beyond anything that I had ever done. And I think that that's kind of like the relapses people talk about. Every time you relapse, that it's even harder. I went downhill. And instead of going through a nice, planned get to, my recovery place, I didn't get there very nicely, and that's all I'm going to say about that. But the good thing is, I kept trying. I fell down on my face multiple times throughout this period, but I kept trying, and I finally got to a place that could help me, and that's what it took for me. I had to get away from everything. I could not do this alone, and I found a place that decided to work with me with kindness, support, training, self-care. I mean, it wasn't just about one thing. It was letting me have some humanity in my recovery, humility, letting me feel like a person, because I beat the stuffing out of myself for not being able to do this by myself. And, that's where I am right now. I came back. I've been back for about 2 or 3 months. And while I feel, I was talking with this to Chris the other day, I've got all the alcohol out of my system. I mean, I've got that part of it. This is such a weird process that you only learn as you're walking through it, and it's different for every person. But I don't feel like I really started getting mentally in place for sobriety until about maybe a month ago, if I'm completely honest with myself. It doesn't mean that, I know people talk about dry drunk. I don't even know about that. I just know that now I'm actually feeling what I have been putting all that work into doing. I'm starting to feel it and see how it's working in my life, and I'm at a good place. I'm calling this place right now, though, the calm before the storm. People say the pink cloud. I had that pink cloud when I came out. You're so happy, happy, happy. I'm at a calm before the storm because, just like every other hurricane, I can still be floating around out in that Gulf for a long time, just whipping around as the currents change. And one small thing around me or that I do can still ramp up that storm, boy. And it's not that far off. But right now, this calm before the storm, I feel like I got to the calm before the storm because I did the work. I went and I learned about my depression. I listened to therapy. I went through the groups. I attend the meetings. To me, that's kind of like what we do when we're getting ready for a storm on the island. That's my sandbags. That's going to the store, making sure you have, Spam and Twinkies, doing all that prep work. Okay, I've done everything that I can do. And now I'm in this calm. And then I started thinking a little further, and I thought about the different towns that go through major storms and the ones that do better, because we have a lot of little towns around us. And what has to happen for a city or a little town to survive is that you have to build community. The ones that have the tight communities, the people that work together, the people that help their neighbors when they're lucky enough not to get hit, all of that keeps going on. And you have to participate in building that community every day in your daily life. And it means being kind to other people, not isolating, making friends with your neighbors, just little bits of things that help. And I kind of feel like that's what I'm doing, and that's what these meetings and these rooms do, is that the recovery community, we're not just here for ourselves, but by being here and helping others, we're basically building this community to help when these storms hit, because it might not be us, it might be somebody else, but we all have to be strong and we have to know each other and we have to watch each other. We know when the winds change direction. We know when the tides are coming up a little bit higher that, we probably ought to be careful, or we ought to start thinking or paying attention. As we do that with all these people around us and, in our own lives, this community gives us a chance to survive and recover when the storms hit, or, and the storms can be great. The other thing, storms are good and bad. Storms bring rain. We all have life. Things are going to happen. Changes are going to happen, good and bad. But when you have strong community and when you constantly make an effort to build that community, I think it keeps you in check, and I think it helps you weather the storms. And I feel like I'm in a really good place right now. I'm not naive to think that the storm is gone or that it's not going to hit, but I feel okay in my own skin. And if you had ever told me 6 months ago that I could be this place, I don't mean to cry. I don't think that I could have been here without the help of some of the people in this room. So that's all I have got. And I appreciate you guys letting me talk. And thank you for making me think about all that.